Assalamu alaikum. It's great to see everyone. And I want to give a few shout outs to get us started. First of all, a shout out to Aaron Whedon, because he's the one who he texted me, asked me if we could have a sikha this week. I was didn't even think about it, but he gave me the push, and that made this happen. So ashrecha, yashcho to him. And Bez Hashem, I think every Thursday night, Blin Eder, we'll try and get together with some brief thoughts. Hopefully, we'll have what to share. Also, want to give a shout out, really as a chizuk for me to the Dafyomi guys. The Chabur of Dafyomi, we just were zoche to finish. We finished the first parak of Masechet Shabbos about a half hour, 45 minutes ago. And for me, especially during these times, the idea of having a every single day, you know, to learn the daf and to teach the daf, and I'm teaching it. I do it once on WhatsApp and once on Zoom. So to have a daily machayev of a limud is exceptionally important. So just emphasizing that in terms of your Seder Hayom, I would also recommend. You know, it's very easy during these types of times where most of us, again, I don't know if what your restrictions are. But in my where I come from, we're basically the rules of the game now are you have to be 100 meters away. You can't be more than 100 meters away from your house. So we're mamish on lockdown. We can't. The only thing we can leave for is stopping for food. Pharmacies and essential workers are allowed to leave their house. But basically, we're subject to our house. If I want to take a walk, it has to be within a 100-meter radius of my house. We have maps, and even there was a the police are out basically telling people if you're not in your house, you know, go home. That's essentially where we're at. So so we're confined to home, which means screen time is up significantly worldwide, as we all probably know, whether it's Torah screen time or other screen time. But the idea, I think, of just one bit of advice I would just share with you, and again, a shout out to the Dafyomi guys, is to have a real kavua 7-day-a-week yomi limud, which is a machayev to you, whether it's mishnayis or an amud or a daf or whatever it might be, that really focuses you when there's so, you know, we really have a lot more time than we ever had before. So to make sure that, I would minimize, if I could just give you some free advice, you know, many of us, including myself, are checking the news multiple times a day. See what's happening, what the stats are. We're very into stats now, worldwide stats and country stats and city stats and all of that. And, we should check the news. We should see what's going on. We should understand what's going on. But I think we often fall, there's no sports now. So now all of a sudden the stats are these stats of sick people and, deaths and the like. And I think it is, very, very, important to kind of tone that stuff down. Again, we should know what's going on. We could check the news once or twice a day, but the idea of every single hour of the day, I think is a bit excessive, and we all fall into that trap. I certainly do. And I'm suggesting that we move away from that a little bit, especially because the news is there's no great chidushim right now, and the mitzvah shem there will be chidushim, but for now not. So I just wanted to share two thoughts on the parsha, and then a more global thought. And again, I hope you haven't seen this week's Isaacsonian, because some of this is going to come from that. But I thought we're opening up parshas Vayikra. And when you get through Parshas Vayikra and Sefer Vayikra, for many of us, it could be very dry. We don't connect well to Karbanos, and what are the lessons of Karbanos, and how do we relate to Karbanos? It's challenging. So I just want to share two ideas on the Parsha, which I think are really, really strong ideas. Something we can take home with us, something we can take home with the Matzav, and then again, one other thought towards the end. The Torah opens up in Sefer Vayikra, second pasuk, Perek Aleph, pasuk Beis, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'amart alehem Adam ki yakriv mikem karban l'Hashem. When a person comes along and brings a karban l'Hashem, mina behema, mina bakar, mina tzon, takriv es karban l'chem. So a person can bring a karban, and he can bring it from tzon, from bakar, from cattle, from smaller animals, and he brings his karban. Here the Torah emphasizes who's bringing the karban. So the Torah writes, Adam ki yakriv mikem, when a person brings a karban. If you go to Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph, so here you have other types of people bring karbanos, and it's a different type of karban the Torah describes. V'nefesh ki takriv karban mincha l'Hashem. Solus ye karbanovi at sakola Hashem ben asanala levona. So in Perek Beis, the Torah is describing not an animal karban, but a karban mincha, a flower karban. And here all of a sudden, the Torah's language changes. It's no longer Adam ki yakriv mikem, but now it's the nefesh sakriv karban. So Rashi right away points out that what kind of person is bringing a behema as a karban, and what kind of person is bringing a flower karban. So most of you probably don't do much shopping. But if you do some shopping, and you go to the store and you're looking for a behema, an animal, whether it's bakar, whether it's tzon, an animal is thousands of dollars. It's a lot of money. In fact, big Jersey cows, big animals, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000. Tremendous amount of money. It's a lot of meat on that animal. That's very, very retail. There's a lot of meat on a Jersey cow. Animals are expensive. How much does a bag of flour cost? $3 shek, $3.50, $1, $2, not much. So who is bringing the karban out of the mincha? Who's bringing the solas? So that's poor people. The poor people are bringing the solas. And that's what Rashi points out. The nefesh ki sakriv, this is Rashi Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph. Lo nemar nefesh bechol karbanos. When it comes to other karbanos, it uses the word adam ki akriv. Here, all of a sudden, when it comes to a karban mincha, it says v'nefesh ki sakriv. Who brings the karban mincha? Mi darko lisnadev mincha. Who brings the karban mincha? Ani. And says the Rashi, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'ale ani alav ki ilu hikriv nafsho. So when an ani brings a karban, and all the money he has is a karban mincha. That's all he has. He can afford flour. That's all he can afford. And the way Hashem sees it, says Rashi, is it's as if he's sacrificing his nefesh. And in some level, Rashi is according much greater value to the karban that's brought by the ani than the karban that's brought by the usher. Because human nature is that when a person is wealthy, he has a lot of money, he's very, very wealthy, so he says, I'm going to bring a nice karban. And he goes and he brings a behema, he brings cattle, he brings bakar. Cost him a lot of money. But even if it costs him real money, he is not personally fully invested in that karban. It's Adam ki yakriv. It's a person bringing a karban. When an ani goes out and digs out, he has no money, and nevertheless, he digs out of his pocket those 3 shekel, those $5, to bring that karban solas. So Hashem understands there's something much more profound going on. There's something much deeper, more significant, and that is that he's bringing his nefesh. And therefore, says the Chumash, it's so much more valuable. Because at the end of the day, Hashem doesn't want our big fat karban. That's not what he's looking for. He's not interested. He doesn't need our big fat karban. That's not what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Rachmana Liba boy. Hashem wants a heart. Hashem wants what's inside of us. Hashem doesn't want our cash. The usher says, I gave a great karban. And he feels he's been yotze with that tremendous thing. But at the end of the day, if he is not personally fully invested, there's a chisaron in that karban, and that's the quality, that's the uniqueness of the v'nefesh ki sakriv. The same idea, similar, but a little more deep, I think, is reflected a few psukim later. Because the Torah says in Perek Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph, again, a very interesting halacha. When you bring a karban mincha, so you're not allowed to bring, the karban mincha cannot have any chametz in it. It must be a matzah karban, which is also interesting. The karbanos are made out of matzah, not chametz. So again, we're talking about very simple, very pashut. It's not about the gashmius. And then the Torah says, no dvash. V'chol dvash lo saktiru mimenu. You're not allowed to smear dvash on the karban. It's got to be chametz, matzah, no dvash. Two psukim later, it says that what do we want on your karbanos? You're supposed to put salt on the karbanos. It says in the pasuk Yud Gimel of Perek Beis, v'chol karban minchasecha b'melach timlach, put salt. Do not withhold salt. Lo tashviz melach, bris alokecha me'al minchasecha, al kol karbanecha takriv melach. You need to have salt on your karbanos. And if you ask me, little old me, I would have said, dvash, honey, a sweetener, something geshmak on your karbanos, or something salt. I would certainly say the correct thing to put on your karban is dvash. So why does the Torah say no dvash, only salt? What exactly is that all about? And then there's an amazing Gemara, a beautiful Gemara, which I think, again, striking. The Gemara is found in Maseches Brachos on Daf Hei Amud Aleph, a memra of Reish Lakish. And the Gemara tells us, Gemara tells us that when it comes to, there's a bris. The Torah refers to the melach on karbanos as a bris. The Torah also refers to yisurin, suffering, human suffering, as a bris. And the Gemara creates a hekesh between human suffering, the bris of yisurin, and the bris of melach, of salt. Gemara creates an equation. Listen to this lashon. Nemar bris ba melach, in our pasuk, lotash is melach bris, v'nemar bris bi yisurin, and it says bris by human suffering. Dichsiv, and it quotes a pasuk. So then the Gemara says, what's the equation? What's the connection? Ma bris ha'amar b'melach. When it comes to melach, the bris of melach, melach mamtekes es ha'basar. What does melach do? Literally, it sweetens basar. We need to understand what that means. Just like melach sweetens basar, af bris ha'amar b'yisurin, the bris that it's said by yisurin is memarkin, empties kalavon osav shel adam. So the Gemara says something very, very striking, and that is that when it comes to melach, melach is mamtekes zabasar, it sweetens basar, so too yisurin empties a person of his averus. What exactly does that mean? What does it mean that melach sweetens basar? I don't understand that. And what's its connection to yisurin? So let's start one thing at a time. So let's start with the dvash. So dvash is exceptionally sweet. It's a very powerful flavor. Perhaps the most dominant flavor that you have. It's extremely strong, and I would say it's so powerful. What dvash does is it masks. It has a masking capacity. You put dvash on bread, and it dominates the flavor of the bread. You don't taste the bread anymore. It's dvash. It's a very potent masking flavor. What does salt do? So salt, when you put salt on meat especially, salt, the power of salt is salt in Hebrew, it's a polate. It draws out. What salt does, you want to kosher meat, and you have, let's say, blood in the meat, you want to kosher it, you throw on salt, the salt pulls the blood out of the salt. It takes that which is on the inside and draws it out. What salt does on a piece of meat is it takes the essence of the meat and pulls it out. It draws out the essential flavor of the meat. That's the koach of salt. And what the Gemara is telling you is when you bring a karban, we don't want you to what the Chumash is telling you is when you bring a karban, you don't want to mask the karban. You don't want to throw dvash on, which is a masking agent, which will dominate and overwhelm the karban. You won't taste the meat anymore. You'll only taste the salt. Rather, what we want to do is we want to take salt, not dvash. Dvash masks. Salt will enable the essence of the karban to emerge, the essence of the basar to emerge. That's what salt does. When you think about the connection between melach and yisurin and suffering, I would posit the very same idea. Is no one wants suffering. No one wants suffering. Lo aleinu, we shouldn't get sick. We shouldn't suffer. We shouldn't have any pain whatsoever. But just like salt, what salt does is it takes the essence of the thing and draws it out, allows it to emerge in the most authentic and essential way possible. So too, yisurin, I think, has the same quality. When a person, Rachman al-Islam, suffers, and I think today's situation that we find ourselves in I'll develop it in a second, but when a person is experiencing Yisurin, he has to look at his life and reevaluate everything. He looks at his life and he says, what's really important? What is essential? What is my essence? What am I really all about? When a person, Rachman al-Islam, is sick, he's very sick, he has to reevaluate his essence, what's really important. And that's what Yisurin does. So when the Gemara says melach is mamtekes es habasar, it sweetens basar. It doesn't mean it sweetens. It's not a sweetener. What it does is it draws out the essence of the basar. It draws out the essential flavors of the basar. It takes the essence of the thing and brings it out. That's what Yisurin does as well. Yisurin is memarkin avonos av shel adam. It empties the person of his avonos and he demands of him, when a person has suffering, to reprioritize what's really, really important in his life, to really identify what's significant, what is his essence. That's what Yisurin does for a person. And applying that to our situation, the world situation we find ourselves right now, I just want to give a few examples of this idea. Tonight is, what's today? What's today's date? It's Thursday, March 26th. March 23rd, I was supposed to be in the United States at a wedding. That's where I was supposed to be, and I was supposed to be in another week at a different wedding of a family member. So those weddings were going to be very big and fancy weddings, chashuv weddings with a lot of people, with a lot of nice food, delicious food, packed and dancing and bands and flowers and the whole nine yards. And they would have been, and they were going to be really amazing and really incredible. But I would posit to you, they would have been incredible, but they would have been full of a lot of dvash. Not in a bad way, not in a bad way. All of those things are really enhance and make amazing. But at least one of those weddings that I was supposed to be at didn't happen the way it was supposed to happen. Supposed to be in a big hall with a lot of people, with great musicians and great food and great everything. And that's not what ended up happening. It ended up happening being a very small wedding of 20, 30 people, 40 people. And it was in a backyard and then ended up in a street with a tiny little suda. And everything changed. Everything changed. But what ended up happening is, I would call it the essential wedding was what they had. The closest of all family members, the closest of all friends, what really the chasna is all about, which is a husband and a wife, a boy and a girl who love each other deeply, building their relationship, building their home, and getting started with life. And I got a text from this alumnus about his wedding, and I just want to share it with you. And I was very moved by it. I was very touched because they were very nervous. They had all these plans. We make all of these plans, and those plans obviously didn't exactly happen. So he writes me. I sent him some messages during the wedding. I was watching on Zoom and all of that. And then he says, Baruch Hashem, the wedding turned out more beautiful than we could have imagined. The only downside was the people who couldn't be there. But aside from that, it was perfect and probably more enjoyable than an overwhelming blank wedding where the wedding was supposed to be. I don't want to say where it was supposed to be, but a much bigger hall. So he's saying it was more beautiful, more perfect than an overwhelmingly large wedding. In other words, we draw back this Yisurin. This is Yisurin. We're all suffering on some level or another, but Yisurin demand of us to go back to our core, to go back to our essence. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you about me. My tefillah right now is stripped of all of the dvash. And the dvash means a beautiful shul that I get to go to, a kriyas haTorah that I get to go to, sometimes in yeshiva, a very musical hallel that I get to experience. It's stripped of all of those accoutrements, no kadeshim, no kedushas, none of that. But what is left? What is left is me and the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what's left. And you know what? That's the essence of what tefillah is all about. So every single afternoon and every single night and every single morning, I go out to my porch outside and it's just me and the Ribono Shel Olam. I'm taking the essence of what tefillah really is and we're getting to that core. A lot of people are suffering. This I do read, I'm nervous about. Financially, a lot of people are suffering now. And unemployment is through the roof. It's through the roof in Israel, in America, around the world. So people are suffering. What that means is we have to kind of identify what's truly significant, what's truly important, what's truly essential. And that becomes what we are. And on some level, while we don't want suffering, that's what Yisurin does to us. It's the salt that demands that we look at that which is critically important, what's critically essential. And on some level, it could make us greater. It could make us better. Memarkin avonosav shel Adam. I was supposed to spend Pesach and I was excited. My kids were very excited. We're going to go to some razzle dazzle Pesach program, a chasuva program where they feed you very well and they golf you very well and they do everything. They take care of, they entertain you, they feed you, they do all those things. And life is such that, guess what? We're having a very simple, beautiful Seder at home, getting the house ready. Getting the Divrei Torah ready, getting the Mishpacha ready. We're reduced. Yisurin reduces us to our essence. What it's really all about. And that's something, again, we don't want Yisurin. We want to go back to normal. But we should recognize that there is something that is very cleansing about Yisurin that helps us become more essential, become our real selves. So as you think about how you navigate these very unique times. And again, the one thing I will tell you for me personally is I have much more time in my hands than I ever do. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I waste it and sometimes I use it better, knowing that I have to give daf yomi shirim and the Hilchos Shabbos shir and the sicha and all of these this stuff helps me focus, helps me advance myself. And as I wrote in the in one of the alumni letters that I wrote recently, you have time to do things that perhaps you couldn't get to, things that are important that you couldn't get to, not just checking the news 10 times a day, but things that are important that you never had the time to get to. Now you have the time, and it's an opportunity to go back to who you really are, to your essence. And that is a core idea, I think, a fundamental idea that as we go into a Shabbos, I wanted to share with you, I want you to think about and use this opportunity, because Yisurin can be an opportunity. It's a bris, it's a covenant. And Be'ez Hashem, whenever we come out of this situation, I really daven that it's soon, because we all need that also. But we should, when we come out of it, whether it's in 2 weeks or a month or 3 months, whatever it might be. But when Be'ez Hashem we come out with it, we should all have refuos and yeshuos and only good things. When we come out with it, we should not come out of it in the same exact way we walked in. We should come out having learned the lessons of Yisur and having learned the lessons of the Melach, having learned what it's like, what life can be like without the dvash, when we just have the soul drawing out who we really are. I just wanted to share one last thought, and I'm not a messianist at all, but I saw someone pointed out to me a from Rav Dessler's Michtav Melio, and it's a piece that's going around these days, because sometimes you have these pieces and it becomes very hot. So it's an interesting piece. I'm not a messianist at all. Rav Dessler lived in England, was a dayan in England in the 30s and 40s. Then he moved to Eretz Yisrael, lived in Bnei Brak, and was a mashgiach in the Panovich Yeshiva. And he wrote a famous sefer called Michtav Melio. It's a very, very beautiful sefer. In the third volume, Chelek Gimel, on pages 204 and 205, he has a small little section over here where he discusses the different Golios. And he quotes a medrash of Vayikra Rabbah, which is found in Vayikra Rabbah Chavtes. And it discusses Yaakov Avinu's ladder that is going up and down, with the Malachim going up and down. And the Medrash Rabbah describes that the going up and down, the Malachim going up and down, represented all four of the Golios you have. You have four different Golios. There's Golos Mitzrayim, there's Golos of there's Golos Bavel, there's Golos of what we call Golos Madai or Paras, and then you have the Golos of Romi. The Golos of Romi is the Roman Golos, and the Golos that we're still in, the Golos that started with the Churban Bayis Sheni, and the Golos that we continue to be in 2,000 years later. And the Medrash describes that each of those Golios, the first three Golios, Mitzrayim, Bavel, and Paras, they ended on their own. They ended through natural means. And then this Medrash describes the fourth Golos, the Golos of Rome, the Golos of Western culture that really began with Rome and then Greece, and that we're living in today. That Golos is going to end through divine mechanisms, only through the divine. And Rav Dessler writes, I'm going to read you one paragraph, I'm going to read and translate. I am not telling you that we are expecting Mashiach in 2 weeks. That's not my message. Not my message. I don't want to be misunderstood. I hope so. I daven so, but that's not what I want you to take away. What I want you to take away is how Rav Dessler describes that the Mashiach is going to come. What's going to be the environment in the world when Mashiach comes? What our stance should be? And then you can apply it to these times or other times as you see fit. But Rav Dessler describes that the following. He says, page 205 in the Sefer, if you want to look it up, in the third volume. Umachzeres ateres leba'aleh. That's a pasuk. It's going to give, the crown is going to go back to its owner. Klomar, Malchus Mashiach tzomeches umizgaleh mitoch Malchus Edom. The Malchus of Mashiach is going to grow out of the Malchus of Edom. Sh'al yedei churbano shal Malchus Edom ole umizgaleh Malchus Shamayim. As a result of the churban of Malchus Edom, the destruction of Malchus Edom is going to emerge and reveal Malchus Shamayim. V'hoysa l'Hashem ha'melucha. And everyone's going to realize that God is the Melech. Churbano shel Edom, the Churban of Edom, again, our Golos, yovo rak al yedei Churban ha'olam hazeh. is only going to come about as a result of the Churban of Olam Hazeh. Kasher mevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu es ha'olam lematzav sheyesodos chaye olam hazeh yismotetu. That Hashem is going to bring about the world to a state, to a place where the foundations of this world of Olam Hazeh will collapse. Hashalva, peacefulness, tranquility, titarer, will disappear, will dissipate. Chaye haprat, individual life, yahafchu lechaye da'aga, will flip, will turn into a life of worry. Pachad, fear, yisurin, suffering. V'kol ha'olam kulo, yamo tachas emas heres v'churban. And the entire world, will stand in fear of destruction and churban. And then, az yitgalu, then it will be revealed le'ein kol, to everyone's eyes, shehis ravrevuso shel ha'adam, the arrogance of man, v'ga'avato, and his pride, al hitkadmuto, on his achievements and accomplishments, b'kibush habriya, in conquering the world, kibiyochol, as if he's conquering the world, me'vim rak, Li'ibadon will bring just depression, destruction, loss. Oz yakiru, and then everyone will understand. Haheder v'hahefseh shebechaye olam hazeh, the lackings, the missing, what's failing in olam hazeh, kishehem mirukanim, when they are emptied, mikol tochen ruchani, when they're emptied of all spiritual substance. And that leads hamovilim rak leklia the ibadon, which will lead to destruction and loss. Kishe yitya'esh ha'adam milahasig ritzonosav, when a person will have yeish, will lose hope of reaching his ritzonos, his desires, his us, only then yitzgale orosh ha'mashiach, only then will the light of Mashiach emerge. Ve'alu moshim b'har tzion, salvation from Har Tzion will emerge, lishpot al Har Esav, which will rule over Har Esav, over Har Edom. V'tira yiridasa v'churbono shel malchus Edom, and the malchus of Edom will be destroyed, will fall, and everyone will be witness to it. Le'en kol. And that's what Chazal teaches. He quotes some Gemaras. And shebemokom hitgalu shel Mashiach, and the gilui of Mashiach will emerge from the lacking, the diminishment of Edom. And kirak al yedei hasagat bittel, the afsus al olam hazeh, when a person realizes the nothingness, the fleetingness of olam hazeh, then misugolim, then they'll be prepared and capable, lisromein veliros b'mabat ruchani, then they'll be able to be focused on spirituality with a spiritual sense. Malchus Edom will become batel, and then will be revealed the light of Mashiach. So that's a very striking and significant paragraph. Again, I'm not applying it to today, but I am telling us that there is, and I'm suggesting, in his words, there is this perhaps inverse relationship, is that the more we are focused on the values of Edom and what Edom represents, the gashmius that it represents, the power that it represents, the control that it represents, so then the light of Mashiach, Edom rises, the light of Mashiach diminishes. As Edom is reduced, and we realize we're not in control, and we realize we don't have the power, and we realize that we are ultimately, Olam Hazeh is fleeting, and we are helpless, and we are diminished, and we're basically very, very little, that gives room for the light of Mashiach to start to emerge and become quite evident. So the avoda is not, Rachmana Litzlan, to wish this state upon us. The avoda is to understand that relationship, to understand its proper place, the role of Olam Hazeh, and ultimately what we can do personally, perhaps communally, perhaps nationally, perhaps this opportunity that all of this time that we have on our hands gives us, the opportunity to go ahead and think deeply about how I can understand the right relationship, to calibrate the Olam Hazeh versus Mashiach, the Edom versus Mashiach relationship. How I can calibrate that, how I can bring more salt into my life. Not sourness, Rachman Litzlan. Not negativity, but salt, which brings out the essential self, what's critically important, what we are really, really all about, focus on that. I think that's the message, perhaps a message that we take from these very, very crazy, crazy times. But there are things to learn from them. There are things that we can take from them. And Be'ez Hashem, we do. And we build ourselves and we become stronger as a result. And then when we do come out of this craziness that we find ourselves in, we will come out with amazing lessons and amazing yesodos. If we, Rachman Litzlan, just go back to where we were before, then we miss the point of Yisurin. Yisurin is supposed to make us better, make us stronger, memarken avonosav shel adam, and allow us to emerge as our most authentic and best. Have a wonderful...
Yisrael.